This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Ramadan Remedies for Your Marriage. This is the last and final episode, and I'm going to be teaching you how to do conflict resolution. Last time I talked about the characteristics of having that are necessary for conflict resolution. I'm going to very quickly go over them until people sign in, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdillahu fala mudillalah wa man yudlil fala hadiyalah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. So last time I was telling you about the characteristics to have in conflict resolution. It's really important. Yes, I got a mic. I'm glad you like it. And I hope the sound is much more clear. And I have free hands, so this is exciting. So the five characteristics for conflict resolution, first of all, is wisdom. You have to be wise. You have to think about how you're going to talk, how it's going to affect the people that you're going to be communicating with. Second was emotional stability. You have to keep it together. You gotta hold on to the way you react, control your emotions. Then it was respect, making sure that you interact with people respectfully. Then the fourth one was being God-conscious, where you are aware that whatever it is that you're saying, whatever it is that you're doing, that Allah is watching, and you're going to have to be accountable. So it's very important to keep that in mind. And the fifth one is to have empathy. Always think about your spouse. Think about how it's going to be affecting them. Put yourself in their shoes. And when you have these five characteristics, then it's going to be much easier to do the conflict resolution. So you need to start with the end in mind before you go about resolving a conflict. Start with the end in mind. Think about how you want people to, first of all, you want to ask yourself, what is the objective of this? What is the, what do I want to accomplish? Is it just to win the fight? Is it my ego? Is it that I want an adrenaline rush? I'm looking for drama? Because some people subconsciously get into conflict because they've been brought up with it. They're used to the drama in their home, and they just pick fights with their spouse. So make sure that when you want to address a conflict, you think to yourself, what is the outcome that I want? And how do I want to end up feeling? How do I want my spouse to end up feeling? I'm guessing most people are not asking that. Most people are not even, they don't have a goal other than, you better hear me out, this is my point, get it across to you. And it becomes very much about imposing your view on someone else and expecting them to change. And very, very often that is the only goal that people have before approaching a conflict. And it's so critical to think about the fact that I want to get my message across in the most constructive way. I want the message to penetrate my spouse's heart enough so that they will be able to empathize, right? You can't force it. You can't force someone to see your perspective if you lack empathy, if you're not being, if you are not sharing in a way that is wise. And also you want to think about the person's feelings, that am I just getting things off my chest? Am I just complaining? Am I just yelling and getting rid of all this like built up stress? And if so, then you really have to cool off, and you really have to take some time to channel your anger or channel your frustration in a constructive way. Maybe you pray, maybe you work out, maybe you do something, maybe write it out and talk it out to someone else before you approach your spouse, so that you don't go in with just this feeling fired up and feeling that you're going to make them, you know, you're going to make them understand. And you want to also make sure that you make your spouse feel heard and understood. And at the end, the goal is that you have a better understanding. It's not about, I'm going to just let them have it and the heck with how they feel. Because a lot of times people do that. A lot of times people are just, they could care less about the feelings of their spouse. And that's why they say some really horrible thing. I had a client who was complaining. They said, you know, we just had a fight today. And, you know, my spouse told me that he hated me. And, you know, she was in tears. This is something that, yes, he apologized, but that's going to leave an impact when you hear those words. So we have to be aware of the feelings and the end result that we have. So that's what we always want to start with the end in mind. Now, there are four steps to the conflict resolution. First is be aware of timing. Be aware of the timing. That is so crucial. If you don't keep in mind that what is their state, and if this is a good time, then they're not going to open up at all and they're not going to be receptive. So you need to think to yourself, is my spouse stressed? Are they, you know, are they hungry? Are they sleepy? Are they preoccupied? You don't pick a fight, you know, at 1 a.m. I had a couple that I was seeing in Dubai, and, you know, the guy was like, oh my God, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and my wife wants to discuss all of these, you know, all the issues that she had. And she kept us up until 5 o'clock in the morning. This is not effective, right? All he wanted to do was sleep, and he just wanted her to stop nagging him. He was not open and receptive to changing himself or improving the marriage. So you really have to pick the right time. It is not the time when your spouse walks through the door, when he has just arrived home, he's tired, he's worked all day. Don't attack him right there and say, you know, I have problems, or the kids are driving me nuts, and, you know, your parents are driving me nuts. We need to have a talk. I'm fed up. Because you're going to create a very negative association to the house, to you. So I think what we need to do is really look at the timing and make sure that when you want to address the whatever it is that you want to address, whether it's about, okay, you know, about his parents or about her spending or about the kids, whatever it seems to be, you need to keep these things in mind so that they're going to be open and receptive. If they're starving, they're not going to hear a thing that you say, right? If they're pressured at work, maybe they have a deadline, maybe they just recently had a death in the family and they're like, they're hurting, or they're at an all-time low, you don't want to kick them when they're low. You want to really keep the other person's emotions in mind before trying to solve the problem. So first time we said is, first thing is timing. Number two, I want you to make observations rather than criticize. Make observations. So what do I mean about that? Is that a lot of things may bother us. Okay, there may be a lot of things that our spouse does that is either annoying or upsetting. And so the way you need to approach it is that you make an observation. You say, I noticed that the dishes have not been cleaned for the past few days. You're making an observation, okay? Rather than saying, I cannot believe you're so lazy. You were home all day. How could you not wash the dishes? What's wrong with you, right? So that becomes a direct attack, and it makes the person feel very criticized. Salam alaikum, Rasha Fahmi in Egypt. That's very sweet that you joined us. There's a friend, a dear friend. And so you really need to make an observation. Make an observation. Another example is when, let's say you tell your spouse, I noticed that the bills have not been paid, right? This is an observation. Do you need some help with it? Have you been stressed out? Do you need me to do anything? Rather than saying, you are so irresponsible. How can you not pay the bills? Don't you see that we're getting late fees? Don't you know how this is going to affect our credit line? So this becomes this attack where a person will feel really criticized. And most couples that I work with in doing couples therapy, they will tell me that, you know, they're fed up with their spouse criticizing them. And it's on both sides, right? The men could be criticizing their wives about how things are not perfect, about the cooking, about the cleaning, about the parenting, about the spending. The wives could be criticizing about, you're not spending time with me, you're not a good enough father, you're not providing well, the list goes on and on, you're not at home enough. And so we really need to make a conscious effort to actually just make observations rather than criticize. Because what happens when someone criticizes you? It's very rare that you get a criticism and you're like, oh, thank you. Gosh, I really want to change myself. I'm so glad you brought that to my attention that I'm like a lazy bum. I really want to now just get up and clean the entire house. You know, no one says that. Oh, you know what? Thank you for letting me know how irresponsible I have been, because now I want to like reorganize the whole filing cabinet, and I'm going to get a system in place. No one does that, because when you're criticized, you feel so incredibly hurt. You're frustrated. You feel underappreciated. And so you're just like, you know what? What's the point? If I'm going to be picked on because, like, let's say I didn't do the dishes, or I missed one bill and now she's going to be on my case, it really makes the person like kind of give up. They're like, you know what? What's the point? And that's what I hear all the time from my clients, is that they're like, what's the point? It's not like he's going to ever appreciate me. It's not like she's going to be kind to me. So what we need to make sure is that we're making observations and not criticizing. The third thing is find ways to diffuse the problem, diffuse the situation. A lot of times when a problem arises, people start feeling really agitated. They get fired up. And you need to find an effective way to tone things down, to put water over the fire, right? And that's so critical to do. And I want you to ask your spouse, when you're not fighting, okay, when things are going well, when you're just hanging out, ask your spouse, you know, what can I do when you're upset? What can I... what is it that I can say or do that will calm you down, that will help you in that process? And what I have seen in couples therapy is that sometimes, let's say the man, I had a situation where a couple, he had a tendency to get fired up. He had a really bad temper. And he would tell me, what really irritates me is when I'm upset and then my spouse starts telling me, just calm down, calm down. Will you just keep it quiet? And she's more focused on getting him to get quiet than to actually addressing the issue at hand. And he's like, that really drives me crazy. And so I asked him, like, what would you want her to do? What would... prevent you from that, you know, from getting more and more angry? He's like, all I need is a hug at that point. You know, I want her not to oppose what I'm saying and to just hug me. And that way I feel like I'm heard. I feel like, you know, she's on my side. I had another couple where when she got angry, she just, you know, she really wanted him to listen. Just listen. She's like, you know, I'm frustrated about his parents visiting, and I just want him to sit and listen. You don't have to agree, right? You don't have to say, yeah, I know, they're horrible. I don't know, I can't stand them either. You're not expected to do that. You're just expected to listen and empathize. Now, if she's saying, you know, I really had a hard day, and they nitpick everything I do, I never feel like it's good enough, I don't feel appreciated, I don't feel like I'm accepted, and you have to say, you know what, that must be really annoying. I'm sure that you know you're really frustrated. You have so much to do. The kids are at home. You're putting so much effort. You know, thank you so much for what you're doing. That's all it takes. That's all it takes, guys. If you're tuning in, listen to your wife, hear her out, and empathize. Don't try to solve the situation. Don't be like, well, you need to do this, this, and this, and then the problem will be solved. A lot of times, you just want to be heard, right? And so you try your best to find ways to diffuse the anger. And, you know, you could use You could use humor. You could use hugs. You could say, like, let's take a little break and just calm down before we discuss this any further. And with the humor, you have to be really careful using humor, because many people use humor, but in a very derogatory way. There's sarcasm, and they say things that belittles their spouse. That's going to just make the situation worse. What you need to do is use humor that you know for sure that your spouse is going to find funny. Maybe something you said, maybe a past memory that you have, an inside joke, something that would just make them crack up. Okay? If you can come up with that, that actually is a characteristic of a very, like, a highly developed relationship where you know your spouse well enough to know how to diffuse the anger. If you are at that point, then you are like you master your marriage, okay? And if you are, if you don't, a lot of times people, when their spouse gets angry, they are just at a loss. A lot of men shut down. They're like, oh boy, here she goes again. I just need to go hide. I need to get out of here because she's acting crazy again. Okay, and they feel so flustered, and they just want to, you know, there's major avoidance behavior. It could really be diffused if you just find out from your spouse. And you don't need to do guesswork, right? Because a lot of times men will get very confused doing the trial and error. It's like, well, this worked last time. It's not working now. I don't know what to do. And that's the biggest complaint that I have from men in therapy, is like, I really don't get her. I don't get her. I don't know how to make her calm. She's unpredictable. These are the complaints, right? So what you need to do is have this discussion and find out how you can diffuse the anger. And those people who are well acquainted with their spouse, they can just say something, and in one statement, they can, like, calm everything down. Now, a lot of people use sarcasm. They use it, and they find it hilarious, right? But then the spouse is hurt. The spouse is like crying, and they're like, I used humor. You know, it was hilarious. I'm like, how many people were laughing? And I'll say, me, just me. I'm like, well, that, you know, it's not going to diffuse the problem if you're the only one laughing. If they are the butt of your joke, then that's not conflict resolution. You're just adding fuel to the fire. So be very careful when using that. And then the fourth step is actually, it's a method, it's a Gottman method of, you make two circles, okay? One big circle and then one small circle. The big circle is things that you are flexible with. It's like, okay, here, there's the flexible stuff, and then the one in the middle is inflexible. Like, this is, I cannot compromise this, okay? So, for instance, you could say, let's say you're deciding to buy a house, okay? Let's say I am flexible with the fact, this, like, the size of the house, with the year it was built. I'm flexible about the location. But I'm inflexible, for instance, well, maybe not the location. I'm inflexible because I want, let's say, the house to be close to a masjid, or I want the house to be right next to work. This is something I can't compromise on. And you both make these circles, and then you see how you can come to an agreement. I've done this with couples when they're deciding on, let's say, family vacation. Okay, I'm flexible with, you know, the length of time. I'm flexible with, let's say, where we go, but I'm inflexible in, for instance, who's coming with us. Or you come up with different scenarios. And once you have those inflexible, right, what is inflexible, then you know, don't even approach that. Okay, because a lot of times arguments occur because a person is trying to change their spouse on that thing that they're inflexible. They're like, no way, don't even go there, right? And that's all they do. Two people are fighting over what's inflexible with them. So what you got to do is try to figure out how you can come to a compromise by understanding each other. It's like, okay, well, that's great. You're flexible about so many things. And that's why that circle needs to be really big, okay? You have to have a lot of things that you're flexible about, maybe one or two things that you're just like, you know what, this, I cannot budge here. This is too important to me, and I need to make sure that I need to make sure that you understand this. And I think the main problem occurs, and I see this in couples therapy all the time, is that a person, you know, one spouse, let's say the wife, is trying to change her husband's mind about something that he is so inflexible about. Let's say the fact that spending time with the family, with the in-laws, right? That's like, you know, I cannot omit them from my schedule. I cannot just forget about them or not go to their events. And the wife is just insisting on that. Right, so this is going to just create so much tension, so much fighting. And if you just realize that and then come to a compromise, right? I think a lot of times what I see when couples are fighting is that their expectation, okay, and that's like going back to what I was saying at the beginning, is that many people at the beginning of an argument, they don't have a goal. Right? It's just unloading. I'm frustrated. Let you have it. It's that. But if you backtrack and you think, okay, at the beginning, I'm going to think, what do I want to get out of this? How can I effectively get my message across? If you have that in mind, then you're going to be a lot more understanding. You're going to be in the mindset of a compromise. Because a lot of times people just expect the other person, their spouse, is like, what? You're not going to just give up all your beliefs and your perspectives for me? What? I thought you loved me. Right? That is so irrational, right? It's very irrational to think that your spouse is going to give up whatever they believe in or whatever they want and just to make you happy, right? So you have to be reasonable. The word was unreasonable. It was very unreasonable to think that someone is just going to, like, you know, just throw in the towel. All right, I'll do whatever you want, whatever you say. I'm game, right? Very few people are like that. So you have to come in with the mindset that we are going to come to a compromise. And you have to think win-win, right? A lot of times it's all about, okay, you know, just forget about whatever you were thinking about, forget your plans, forget all that, and then come on board with me. That is what I see when I'm doing couples therapy. That is the mindset. You either change, you need to do it my way, or forget about it, right? But if you think win-win, just think of it like a business negotiation. If you're only thinking about what's in it for me, and you start putting all these demands, you go in and you're just thinking about, okay, I'm going to get this, the percentage, I'm going to 90% me, 10% you, or I'm going to, and you just think only about yourself and you're not thinking about the other person, that person's not going to agree to the business deal, right? When you are thinking and having their best interests in mind, that's when a person softens up and thinks, you know what, yeah, this sounds really fair. And that's how we need to think about it. When you are, you know, resolving issues with your spouse, think that I want them to be happy. A lot of times that's not the goal, unfortunately. A lot of times people get in such a dark place. They become so bitter that they're only thinking about themselves and they could care less how their spouse feels. So if you're at that point, then I would say that you need some professional help, because you're not going to go over this obstacle on your own. If you've gotten to a point that you could care less about your spouse, like, I'll say whatever, I'll do whatever, because I really don't care about them, then it's going to be really tough to try to resolve the issues. So these are the points that I wanted to talk about. Let me quickly recap. So before you start your conflict resolution, start with the end in mind. Start and think, okay, what's my goal here? What do I want to accomplish? And how do I want my spouse to feel? Obviously, you don't want them to be offended, criticized, sad, angry, frustrated. So if you go in with that mindset, then you're going to avoid the things that would lead to that. Now, the four steps for conflict resolution, to recap, one is timing, right? Timing is everything. Make sure they're in the right state of mind before you discuss with them. Number two is you make observations and you don't criticize. It's just observing. It's not a personal attack. Don't, drag in the past. Don't make generalization about their character just because they didn't do something. Don't give them some kind of a label, okay? The third thing is find ways to diffuse the anger. Find out what calms your spouse down, what makes them feel happy, and try to do those things. And then the fourth was, what I was telling you about making the circles. The Gottman method is like you make one big circle, and these are all the things you're flexible about, and you write in the circle, and one tiny little circle that says, this is what I'm inflexible about. This is, I can't budge here. And then you compare your circles, and you come up with a compromise, okay? So Allah blesses all our relationships, help us to really have the skills, because I just don't see it present. When I deal with people, whether in therapy or outside of therapy, when issues come up at the workplace, when there is conflict at the masjid, when sisters have an argument, it's really, really rare for me to see this at work. The conflict resolution is non-existent. And it's so sad because, let's say you have a little argument with a friend. Next thing you know, it explodes out of proportion. You're blacklisted. You ignore the person. You cut them off. And that's how people deal with it. They have avoidance behavior. I don't want to deal with this person. Okay, well, guess what? You're going to have a lot of conflicts in life. It's very natural for you to have maybe a different perspective. It's very natural for things to be misunderstood, right? So if you cut off each person that you disagree with, or each person that you have a misunderstanding with, you're not going to be left with a lot of people. And that's why you see there are some individuals that they'll just have like that one friend, right? Because everyone else is on the blacklist. So we have to be careful with that. Or you find that at the masjid, and I've brought this up before, in the volunteering, in the women's committee, that suddenly, a problem arises, and instead of people, like mature adults, coming and discussing and reaching a conclusion, it just becomes a huge ordeal. It becomes a huge ordeal. Everyone regresses to being a 2-year-old, 5-year-old, and don't be friends with her. Don't be friends with her. Fighting, yelling, screaming, and then it's over, right? Or sometimes you find in the workplace the competitiveness, and people end up breaking up marriages because they don't know how to resolve conflict. And a lot of times when there is a problem in the marriage, and people bring their families that, unfortunately, not all families have, they have the good example. They don't have the knowledge of conflict resolution. They can't even, they can't even solve their own marital problems. So how can they come and help you? So it's just really important to get the right information. To, if you recognize that you don't have these skills, you can definitely acquire it. And if you've enjoyed this program, and if you've enjoyed these episodes of Ramadan Remedies for Your Marriage, I highly recommend you to sign up. I have free videos. There's 4 videos. My husband and I work really, really hard to produce something for the community to be able to benefit, to give you certain tools, certain suggestions, and he did an amazing job in editing it. I think you really enjoy it. It's captivating, and the information, anyone who has watched it, they say that the information has really had a transformative effect on them, on their marriage. So if you go to 5, pillarsofmarriage.com, sign up for 4 free videos. And I think that in order to continue working on your marriage post-Ramadan, right? So this is all Ramadan remedies, but post-Ramadan, we want to make sure that we are working on our marriage, on all relationships, and hopefully all this ibadah that we did, all the worship that we did, all the asking for forgiveness, the du'as, the fasting, the charity, the prayer, the Quran, all of that, I really pray is demonstrated through our relationship, especially our relationship with our spouse. If you don't see a difference in your relationship, if you don't see a difference in your character, then there is that missing link. So we want to make sure we take all of that, we take all that enlightenment, all that spiritual rush, spiritual iman, the iman rush, and then we channel it in all our relationships, and especially with our marriage, that we work on this. Don't give up. There are ways, there's methodologies. I've seen people on a brink of divorce, people who have come to me, they're like, you know, that just help us end it. We can't. We can't go on like this anymore. And subhanAllah, with a few sessions, with a few learning tools and techniques, things like I've shared with you, I teach them as well. They apply it, and then they look forward to spending time together. They go on vacations together, and then their marriage becomes a source of comfort, and it becomes a source of joy rather than a source of anxiety and depression. So the special announcement that I had is that I was considering doing actually a live session, possibly on either a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly basis. I want to get your input. I want to see if these have been beneficial, and also if you sign up for those videos, the free videos, give me your feedback, because I want to know if it's, you know, if it's helping you, how you like it, and also, like, for these live webinars, I think that I'm definitely considering it. It's great to be able to reach out, to provide, to contribute. So let me know if you're interested, if you have some suggestions for topics. Maybe we could do Q&A on a weekly basis, and it could be on different topics each week. Maybe we could do parenting, then it could be on building your self-esteem, whatever you think. I'm a bit open. I'm open to suggestions. So this has been a great experience, and jazakallah khair for tuning in. I want to do some questions and answers. Yeah. I could also talk about different topics such as, you know, anxiety, depression. So it sounds like you're saying you love the live videos. Okay, that's great. That's great. I tell me as far as, like, if you would be able to tune in on a weekly basis, or like maybe every 2 weeks or once a month. You like the parenting ideas? Okay, I can keep that in mind, inshallah. And if there are some questions regarding the conflict resolution, let me know. There's a question? Okay.
You want my husband has anger issues. He screams and curses. What should she do?
Okay. My husband has anger issues. He yells and screams and curses. You know, unfortunately, it's very common. It's very common for men and women to have this difficulty with their anger. And it's important to address them when they're not angry. Okay, maybe you talk with them in a very compassionate way. You know, say, I worry about you, and make it about your concern about them, not like, oh, you're like, you know, I'm sick and tired of you yelling and cussing, and you need to go fix yourself. A lot of times people address it like this, and the person's going to be like, there's nothing wrong with me, okay? But if you come and you're empathetic, again, like if we go back to the characteristics we talked about in conflict resolution, you have to have empathy. So you go and you're like, you know, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your health. Every time you get angry, you know, you're releasing all this poison. I don't want you to, God forbid, have any kind of like heart problem, anything like that. What can we do? How can I help you? Okay, if there's anything I'm doing, and you know, you have to put yourself out there. I know that your gut instinct is to say, you know what, you've got a problem, go fix yourself, right? That is what you're feeling. It's his problem, and you feel like he needs it. But if you use wisdom, right, that was one of the characteristics I talked about, and you say, you know, I'm really concerned about you. What can I do? What can I do so that you won't, I won't anger you? And a lot of times when a person is approached like that, they're going to be a lot more receptive rather than saying, like I had one client who told her husband, well, you need to go to therapy and you need to fix yourself. And no man is going to run to therapy when his wife says that, right? It's about approaching it in a diplomatic way and trying to connect with him in that way.
What's your advice for those who constantly bring up their past issues, blaming others without accepting their own faults?
Okay, so what is your advice about people who keep bringing up the past and they're always focusing on other people's mistakes rather than their own? And they don't admit. That's also very common, you know. And it's really, it's very unfortunate because it has to do with the pride, right? And I just had a session where, you know, the brother had made a grave mistake, obviously in the wrong. And when the wife addressed his mistake, instead of trying to fix it, he just turned the table around and it's like turned her on the hot seat. And that sometimes happens with women as well. So, you know, if the man is very carefully, I see sometimes they're tiptoeing. Like when I say, what would you like to improve in the relationship? Some of the guys are really scared to speak up because they're like, this is going to lead to like 1 week of fighting. I'm going to have to deal with so much. And so when they very carefully construct their sentence and they say it, and the wife's just like, in the therapy session, turns everything around and says, well, you know, 10 years ago, you did not let me do so-and-so. Yeah, and I'm just sitting there and say, how does that even relate? And I even ask, I'm like, okay, how does that relate to the issue of, like, let's say, punctuality? I really don't see the connection. Where's the connection? And so people, because they're so uncomfortable with admitting that they're wrong, and that also, that's the pride that, oh, I can't be wrong. I'm right, so whatever you're saying, that's your issue and your problem. So I think with individuals like that, I mean, I find that therapy does help a lot because they get to hear things from a different perspective. They get to understand. You know, I've had issues with individuals who are constantly doing that, and then I really help them to see. I go, do you see a pattern? Do you see how every time we're trying to, you know, every time I'm trying to help you overcome this issue, you immediately blame your spouse. And so in this way, they're really able to understand where they're coming from. And it depends on the maturity level, right? There's some people who are in it to fix themselves, and others, they just won't budge. And I think one of the hardest thing is when a person does not recognize that they have a problem, right? So if the person just thinks that, you know, I don't have a problem, I don't need to fix myself, I don't need to change, then it's really going to be tough. Like in the whole precinct of doing therapy is that the person admits that they have an issue that needs to be resolved. If they can't even admit that, then it's challenging.
One of the sisters wrote, I'm following you on 5 Pillars of Marriage program. Alhamdulillah, it is an excellent program. It saved my second divorce and helped me understand myself. Lots of self-development is needed.
Oh, great.
And she's saying, I would appreciate it if you could give some info about weight loss program.
Okay.
Negative self-talk.
All right. Okay. So this sister has been doing the five pillars of marriage. That's my online marriage program. And she's saying that it saved her from getting a second divorce. So this is such a blessing. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for writing in and letting me know, because this is the reason why we do what we do. Like, my husband and I are very committed to helping the ummah have better marriages, avoid divorce, or overcome any problems. And so I'm so glad that, alhamdulillah, you've benefited from this. And definitely self-development is a very important part of having a good marriage. And that is, you know, pillar one is all about working on yourself and making yourself a better person so that you can be a better spouse. What was the question about weight loss?
Weight loss and negative self-talk.
Okay, let me focus on the negative self-talk. That is, that's something that is really critical. You know, as a cognitive behavioral therapist, one of the first things I do is I help people change the way they think in order to change their behavior. And it's really critical to become aware of that internal conversation that you have. Most people are unaware. They don't even know that they're having, I don't talk to myself, what are you talking about, right? But it's happening all the time. And whatever it is that you're saying to yourself is going to affect the way you feel. It's going to affect your achievements, your relationships. So really become in tune with it and really try to stop any kind of negative self-talk, because that negative self-talk, you're gonna run yourself down, you're gonna beat yourself up, and you really have to take control of that. I think the I'm going to pass on the weight loss, because I need to go into a lot of description. So is there another question relating to marriage?
Yes, there is one more thing. How do you tell someone you're wrong or you need to review your actions without being offensive?
Okay, how can you tell someone that they're wrong without being offensive? You know, it's like what I was saying as far as, you know, with the four steps to conflict resolution, that was number two, is make an observation, don't criticize. So you could say that, you know, I noticed that the entire house is kind of in disarray. And are you feeling sick? Do you need some help? So you are, you know, making an observation, but you're not saying, oh my God, I can't believe you've left such a mess. What is your deal? Like, why are you so lazy that you can't get your act together? So, or you address it like, in a form of a compliment, in a sense that, you know, I really miss how you used to call me and take me out. I miss the way that you used to dress up for me. You know, so you draw their attention to something that they used to do, rather than saying, oh, you never worry, you never take me out, you never say to give me any gifts, I can't stand that, you're so rude, you're so insensitive, because that just, you know, becomes an attack, and that person is not going to like run out and buy you a gift when they hear that. It's more about like, oh, you know, I just, that time that you got me that special gift, you put that extra time, that extra effort, you know, you really made me feel loved. You really made me feel special when you gave that extra time and attention to my parents, and you helped them with that project, that the project that they had at the house. So I would love to see that more. I would love to see that. So again, you're not attacking. You're bringing their attention to something that they used to do, and then you're correcting them at the same time. Okay, so inshallah, that I think concludes our, you know, the episodes of Ramadan Remedies for Your Marriage. I want to thank you so much for all your support and for tuning in. Inshallah, if this has been beneficial, share it, like it, pass it on, let more people benefit. You know, I think that a lot of people are suffering in their marriages, and you may never know. I remember a friend of mine, when I had recently come to Dallas, she had a gathering at her house, and she's like, could you please come and talk about marriage? And when I did, she goes, I had some people reach out to me for doing therapy, and she had this feeling. She's like, you know what, I don't know who might be suffering in their marriage, so I want to just provide this outlet. And, you know, I found out a lot about individuals that you would have never guessed that they're having these kind of issues. They came and they, you know, they got the help that they needed in therapy. So I think you need to share the information with people so that they can benefit, that they can have a better relationship. And just want to encourage you to sign up for those free videos. Those are there, four of them. You know, like I said, we put a lot of time and effort into making it informative, captivating. And that's something also, if you can share with your friends, with your family members. You know, a lot of times your friends may come to you and they have marital problems. You know, I'm sure everyone has a friend that has come to them and say, you know, like, my spouse is driving me crazy, right? And you know, as a layman, you're thinking, what can I do? I don't know how to advise them. So you may not have the answer, but you can direct them to, you know, to this resource. Tell them, I have my website, halabanani.com, where they can do Skype therapy sessions, and you can also have them read some articles I've written about marriage on the Muslim matters, and also these free webinars. You know, say that, why don't you sign up for this program, and you can watch the videos and see what you can benefit from. Because I think you know, when we're like kind of the paramedics, right? Sometimes as a friend, sometimes as a neighbor, they, you know, people will come to us and with a broken marriage, and you really don't know what to do. So if you just direct them in the right, you get them to get the right resources, right? And that way they are, they benefit, and you can really provide them the help that they need. Because sometimes when people are giving advice, you find that, you know, they're stuck themselves. They're having problems in their own marriage. Like, I don't know what to do. That's one of the most common things when I meet someone at a dinner party. They're like, I have a friend who has this like marital problem. Could you give me some advice on that? So for all of you who have that situation, you can, you know, you can direct them to something that will, inshallah, be very beneficial. So jazakumullah khairan. Thank you. Was there? Jazakallah khairan. And inshallah, that the last few days of Ramadan will be blessed. Please keep me in your dua and pray that this.
Keep us in your dua.
Yeah, this is my husband. He is behind the scenes, but he, you know, I couldn't do any of this. Come. I couldn't do any of this without my husband, Abdul Majid. MashaAllah, he is. The mastermind behind all the things that we're putting out, the five pillars of marriage, alhamdulillah, I could not have done, you know, without my husband. So jazakallah khair, and keep him in your dua as well. All right, jazakallah, assalamu alaikum.